Always great to have your company for the program. We'll talk some basketball later on this hour. Dean Vickerman is going to have a chat. We'll go back to your calls as well. We'll open the lines again, the Werribee Kia open line. They're open for business at Werribee Kia. Drop down and say hello to David and Janan and Aid and Jim and the team at Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling dealership, 2 years running. If you're in the market for a new or used car, drop down to Werribee Kia and tell them we sent you. So we'll come back to your calls a little later on in the hour. But time for a McCafe coffee catch-up. You can treat yourself to a smooth, delicious coffee crafted by expert baristas at McCafe, available 24-7 with an old friend of mine. It's good to have him back on. He was a superstar as a player, 274 games, four-time All-Australian, four-time Geelong Best and Fairest, Geelong Team of the Century member, represented Victoria about 10 times, and a coach in his own right. A lot of assistant coaches don't coach their own team. So the buck doesn't stop with them when they don't coach their own team. He's coached Port Adelaide in the Sandful, Peel Thunder in the Waffle, South Adelaide in the Sandful, and coached Port Adelaide's AFL team for four games as well before ending up being a Collingwood assistant coach. Gary Buddha-Hocking joins me. Welcome to you, Buddha. Great to have you on the program. Welcome.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks for having me.
Where do I find you? You're in the lunch hour, I understand.
Yeah, lunch hour out at Ceres on a farm now. So since COVID and post Collingwood, I've been able to find some work, Dwayne, and really enjoying being out in the open. Like I said, 100 acres, just doing a bit of maintenance. So, no, it's been really good.
And I understand you're helping with the coaching locally as well in the Geelong Footy League?
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to get a call from some Joeys who... obviously in the GFL Footy League, a pretty strong powerhouse club. So just doing some coach directing there and also doing the mids. So a couple of nights a week plus the weekends. We start this week against Colac. So big game down there on Saturday night at 6 p.m. against a really high-quality team, but really enjoying that local opportunity, Dwayne.
I wanted to pick your brain about game plan evolution, Buddha, because I know that when you were coaching in the Waffle, coaching in the Sandful, you used to do a couple of radical things. You've always been one that's trying to push the button to see what's next. What have you made of this season so far and the advances in the game this season and whether you think some teams could do more to catch up a bit?
Yeah, well, there's certainly a few teams that have got off onto the front foot a bit quicker than other teams. And if you look at, you know, Melbourne at the moment, Sydney, some of those teams, even Adelaide, who are in the eight, you know, at the moment. So there's probably three or four teams that have had a couple of more weeks than perhaps the teams that played in the finals. So maybe they've had the rules a little bit earlier, or they've been able to sort of just adjust their training and sort of sit in think tanks, you know, and get all the coaches together and the players and just sort of work out what's going to, you know, be sort of relevant for 2021 and also going forward. For me, just at the moment, I think if you just look at Sydney, just the ability to be able to outnumber, I think that's still a big thing in being able to win your own footy, Dwayne. So contest is still really important. They look like they've got some athletic types at either end. Some of their kids, you know, win contests, but they're also smart and really good footy brains. They know when to go fast. They know when to go slow. So there's just a couple of things at the moment I think that some of those teams have had an advantage on.
So what does it come down to? The recruiter picking the right guy to give the coach, or the coach picking the right spot and the right method of game style to make the most out of the guy that the recruiter gave him?
I think there's still a little bit. I mean, right at the moment, you've got to deal with what you've got. So you've got to still look at, although there's been a few rule changes with interchange and also, you know, standing the mark, you still got to coach, you know, what you've got in front of you. So your list, your 22 each week, you still got to be able to say, well, they're still good at this. But if you look at, say, some of the teams who have been strong stoppage teams, so Collingwood, you know, Port Adelaide, GWS, teams like that recently, they've just had to adjust because stoppages are down. If you look at just 2019, there was 92 a game. So that's average, Dwayne. Shortened quarters last year, 72 in 2020, you know, during the COVID. But they've crept up because of the longer game time. Sorry, they've actually lessened and there's more game time in 2021. So they're down to 79. So that's about minus 16. So if you think Paddy Dangerfield, Cripps, Pendlebury, really good stoppage players. They're having to adjust their games. I think coaches are starting to are still trying to work out what do we actually do with them because there's less stoppages, which actually helps them, but it doesn't help the team because there's less stoppages in the game type thing. So there's still a few teams and coaches trying to work out where to put their players and what's best for them.
What do you make of your role with the way Collingwood and Bucks, you know Bucks pretty well, are going about it, and the way that sort of he resisted the calls to change his game style last year and has kind of not changed it that much this year to your eye, or has he?
Look, there's been some subtle changes, I think, with any of the teams that, you know, from year to year. There's no doubt that you know, coaches work on just little different shifts. And again, what I go back to before is that you try and just continue to sort of work what's best for your group. You make little in-house subtle changes, so positional changes. For me at the moment, I'm just seeing that if you look at what's been their mojo or their best sort of stuff over the last probably two or three years since the GF in 2018, for me, and it's like any team, contested balls probably just down a little bit. You know, they've been a very good stoppage team previously. And we just talked about, having 16 less per game. So that sort of influences a little bit. And that obviously their scores have either lessened and probably crept up defensively. So they've got some issues around the footy, giving up territory a little bit. You know, so when they do win stoppage, they sort of can't hold the territory for the ball. So there's some issues there up front that, you know, Mychek, Cox, those sort of boys have just got to be a little bit more competitive, more aggressive in the air. And if they don't mark it, get the ball to ground. And the old question that Bucks was asked on the weekend about the hit-outs, and I think every coach has sort of been asked that question recently, Dwayne, is do hit-outs actually, you know, help you? Well, they do if you win at ground level. They don't if you can't sort of get organised at ground level. So there's a couple of subtle things. And I think maybe just a little bit of hangover from the trade with Treloar and Phillips and Steve-O. I mean, they're good players. Treloar, you know, averages a lot of players, has shots on goal. Phillips, you know, was playing on the wing and played his role to perfection. And Steve-O was just that X factor up forward. So when you don't have Elliott and you've got a force to play Degowie forward or on ball and you don't have an Elliott or a Steve-O, you sort of lack a little bit of punch and bite up forward.
So you were there for a while. Has the soft cap cuts or has Bucks got enough guys around him at the moment? You don't mind poking people and telling people that, hey, what about doing this? And have you got that right? Has he got enough people poking him at the moment or not?
Well, I think he has, no doubt. And look, Nathan's a very smart person. There's no doubt about that. He's a fantastic coach. Like, I think what you've been able to find, for me, it's been very harsh, no doubt, you know, like this salary cap, you know, footy sort of spend cuts has been quite hard. I mean, I don't think the AFL lost as much as they sort of predicted in regard to that. But losing some sort of quality people in roles has been probably, you know, a key to maybe all football staffs. And when I talk about that, Dwayne, it's not so much the skill set of, let's say, an analyst who might be just, you know, sitting on a computer every day. These people now in footy clubs, they've got really good skill sets to do the roles, but they've also built really good relationships with the players. So a player will come in, so the stoppage coach or the defensive analyst, and they'll have a conversation about life, and the analyst might be playing footy, and that player might know that person or might have come from that club. So they're not just people who are just punching, you know, numbers into the computer. They're actually real quality people that when you lose them out of footy club, it makes it very, very hard to do the job and to also to still build that rapid and rapport and have those relationships in footy clubs.
So do you think it's affected Collingwood more than some other teams, or do you think it's affected teams equally?
I think it's probably affected teams equally. There's no doubt about that. And Bevo talked about the other day about just losing, you know, the opportunity to do more oppo. And I guess what you've got to be able to do is just work out what are the most important things for the coaches to get through to the players and what's the most important thing do the players need. And it probably just goes back to maybe the 80-20 rule or even the 90-10 rule where you spend more time on you than the opposition and you try and back your stuff in on a weekend.
So just before we leave Collingwood, would you try more forward? What would you do to try and generate more scores? Is there, there's been a lot of talk about playing the kids or making some personnel changes, but yeah, what do you think Collingwood can do to get back on the winners list a bit more often?
Yeah, scoring's been a little bit of an issue. And there's some key players out. There's no doubt about that. I think take advantage of, you know, Brody's stuff around the ball. Collingwood don't really play like an extra player around, you know, through the stoppages, Dwayne. They like to sort of hold the traditional six, you know, forward ahead of the ball. So maybe it's like a little subtle change where you bring a forward into the stoppage and just try and create a little bit of extra number and maybe some more run out of there. And, you're not just bomb kicking the ball, you know, to even numbers. I mean, you're going to give up a plus one in your forward 50, but if your forwards are really competitive, you might be able to just change that sort of that action of just quick kicking and having the pressure. Because when I look at Collingwood, they're always like 4v4 against the stoppage. Other teams have sort of got that extra in there, creating a little bit of difficulty to other oppositions. And I think the other thing that's really changed in the game is that it's like when we played, Dwayne, back in the 80s and the 90s, like teams are now rebounding their ball more out of defensive half because of this stand-the-mark rule, because teams are getting through from one end to the other. Those numbers have gone up, and scoring from the back half has actually gone up. So if Collingwood can really maximise Howe, Maynard back into the game, and also get more, a little bit more tacking, by the numbers, they're saying that you can actually score a little bit more.
What about the Cats and their ball movement style and the game style under Chris Scott?
Yeah, look, it's the last couple of weeks, it's only been around the 60 points. So, you know, you're going to have to be defending really, really hard to be able to, you know, minimise the team to, say, you know, 59 points or 58, depending on what you're scoring. So that makes it a little bit difficult. So they've got some talent out up front. Hawkins is probably playing a little bit of a lone hand without Rowan up there. And Jenkins is in the reserves at the moment. And no Jeremy Cameron, who they banked on having probably round one. So that's probably hurt them a little bit. But it just seems to me they're playing. I mean, last year, a lot of teams just played slow out of their back half, didn't want to turn the ball over. But it looks like all over the ground at the moment, there's a little bit of a slant towards playing a little bit more slower. And maybe, and this is only my opinion, maybe they're thinking that they don't have enough run if they do turn the ball over. And maybe that's they've gone a little bit older in regards to that, Dwayne. They feel like now that they're a little bit older, they may not be able to run as more to be able to defend. So maybe they're just sort of slowing that up to get their numbers more adjusted. If they do turn the ball over, they certainly can defend it. So, yeah, they've got some issues, and they've got some good players out of the team that you'd think would come back in the next couple of weeks and make them a little bit differently. But if you look at last year, GWS and Carlton beat them in round one and round three. And so they were 2-2 after round four. I mean, they really could have been 1-3 after round four last year. So they've had this tendency of starting slow. They beat Melbourne by 2 points in round four to go 2-2, but they made the grand final. So we just got to make sure that we don't jump too early on the Cats.
Who do you like? What are you liking so far? And is there a premiership contender that stands out in your mind at the moment?
Well, the two teams that played on Friday night are probably the two teams that playing some really good footy. Ports, like I said before, not having as many stoppages, but still got a really strong defence, playing a bit of a turnover game from their back half. They've got some forwards who they're able to kick to. I really like the youth in some teams, Dwayne. I reckon this is where the game sort of shifted a little bit more, as some of the youth in teams, and that's Sydney as well. I think the new rules and strategies still suit Richmond and the way that they play. They play a high turnover game. That seems to be really prevalent in the game at the moment, scoring from your back half. They've got great back six. They can shift the ball from back half and hurt you on the scoreboard. But I really like the enthusiasm and the teams that can run and outnumber. I think that's a little bit of a trend. And Port are full of those kids. Richmond naturally got the speed anyway. And Sydney, to me, are trending really well with that good blend of some older guys and that real youth and enthusiasm.
So more speed and athleticism in the game, you think, suits a few of these younger guys that are coming into the game with that skill set already ready to go?
Yeah, and I think the rules too, you know, with collisions and, you know, just some of the rules surrounding and, contests and all that sort of thing. The kids don't feel like they're as timid anymore in a contest, yeah, and they're able to sort of just freely play the game.
You're getting back into it at some stage, Buddy. Would you take an invite to an AFL club if the soft cap expands again and there's an opportunity?
Well, as you know, Dwayne, I'm always trying to, improve myself and grow in certain areas. And, you know, coaching still is there on the radar. Being involved in a coaching group is still there, you know, on the radar for me. And I still continue to go to games and try and watch different things and follow with interest what's happening in the AFL. So never say never, but certainly enjoying the slight break, hopefully, that I'm having at the moment.
And chemistry guys at clubs, I know that a lot of people have talked about you being one of those guys, just, not only your your ability to be able to identify game styles and coach in-game as well as during the week with guys that need the coaching. But in terms of just knowing what a club needs by overseeing it a bit and knowing where there needs to be a bit of a chemistry link between some of the guys in the group, do you think that's been lost a bit with these soft cap cuts as well, given that you mentioned a few players would rather go to an assistant sometimes for a bit of advice than the senior coach?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that some of the footy departments have lost really good people that, you know, were there particularly to do their role, but more particularly to sort of help the player become better. And I think, like I said, some of those players valued those chats and those relationships, and, you know, just a coffee. And sometimes they don't want to go to the senior coach and have that, but somehow that information can be sort of transferred to the coach in different types of meetings and settings and that sort of thing. But most of the time, those conversations are really kept between the player and that person, whether it be an assistant coach or whether it be a strength coach or a fitness coach or even an analyst. Some of those things some players go to that you just keep to yourself and you work it out. And, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with Jordan DeGoey, and it's still a bit ongoing now where he might just ask me for a little bit of support and, just a little bit of help and that sort of thing. So, and then that's many players across the industry that I've had with Dwayne. I'm sure that would be happening with other people outside of, these cuts. And, you know, unfortunately, the industry, the way it has lost some really good people.
Great to have a chat to you, Buddha. Anything else that's caught your eye before I let you get back to the farm?
Your show, Dwayne, number one in the land. That's what's caught my eye.
Hey, is DeGoey, is he going to be this All-Australian that we hope that he is? What's he need, do you think, to be that next-level guy?
Yeah, look, it's just opportunity for Jordan. He wants to be great, and it's just a little bit of opportunity. I think it's just trying to settle him. You know, is he going to be a really good forward, a mid-forward like Dusty? Is he just going to be sort of that person that can play a lot longer time in the midfield and then maybe rest a little bit off the bench and through the forward line? I think, you know, it's still trying to work out what is going to be the best mix. I think, for me, down the track in the next 12 months, you'll see a really, really good player. He's maturing, and they certainly need him around the ball more than perhaps forward. And when you get, you know, some more form from Hoskin Elliott, Coxie, Majacek, these sort of guys, you'll find that he'll probably be a bit more sort of midfield.
What a great having a chat to you. You know I love picking your brain, and you know I love you. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Gary Ogging, Geelong champion, former Collingwood assistant, joining us for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Treat yourself to a smooth, delicious coffee crafted by expert baristas at McCafe, available 24/7. You can jump on the line. We'll sneak a call or two in. 1-300-736-736, the open line, brought to us by Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling Kia dealership the last 3 years running. Talk about a couple of things that Buddha had to say, and Dean Vickerman also joining us in about 15 minutes from now. Stick around, more Dwayne's World next.